I'm Kathy Lord, and actually, as we were getting ready for this, Connie commented that we were doing really cutting-edge stuff, and I have to say, this is so cutting-edge that we're really working on it as we speak. But what I wanted to do was give you a sense of what we're trying to do, and also get anybody's feedback who has ideas. I do need to say I'm not talking about very much the ADOS, and all I'm going to talk about is how it doesn't work for this, but I do get royalties for the ADOS, and the ADOS-C, which is what I'm talking about, will be copyrighted by WPS because the items overlap with the ADOS and they own that language, but at this point it's not really for sale. It's available for researchers. So Connie mentioned many of these issues, and I think many of us have goals in our interventions to improve children's and adults', really, social communication. But there, we are limited in the ways that we have to measure these improvements. On the whole, the standardized diagnostic instruments and screening instruments don't pick up or just not picking up subtle changes. And in part, that's what they were intended to do. They were really intended to make diagnoses. And for example, in the first Early Start Denver model study, we almost got a significant result, but not quite. And I think that's typical of many studies. I'll talk about other issues in a minute. In addition, there are real concerns, or I have real concerns, about caregiver judgments and clinical judgments, even things like the CGI, when a parent clearly knows that their child was in an intensive behavioral intervention and somebody else knows that their child was not in that intervention. And finally, I think the sort of classic empirical approach are behavioral designs where you do an intervention, stop it, do it, stop it. But often there, what you're measuring is the response to that specific intervention. And as Connie said, then we sort of pray that there is generalization and there's not necessarily good ways to measure that generalization. The ADOS, I just stuck this in here because there may be some people here who are not very familiar with the ADOS, but the ADOS is a semi-structured observation schedule that can go down to very young children and up through adults, but it takes about 45 minutes and takes a lot of training and skill and practice to administer and to code. It yields raw scores in two domains, social communication and repetitive behavior, and then also algorithm scores, which end up being categorical, and calibrated severity scores. I think the relevance is that we really have tried recently to come up with dimensional measures in the ADOS, so to be able, for the calibration, to talk about core features of autism. They're not intended at all, actually, to pick up subtle changes. And what's sort of ironic is that, in fact, sometimes they don't pick up subtle changes, like in the Early Start Denver model. Other times we've seen ADOS has changed for the treatment as usual kids as well as the treatment kids. And what exactly is going on there, I don't know, but this is from the secretin trial and another intervention study where both groups changed pretty much with equal amounts. This is from the PAC trial, which I think is an intervention study carried out in the UK, which is one of the most well-designed studies I've ever heard of. And in fact, here you can see the intervention, which is a blue group, and the treatment as usual, which is the green. And we got one, in a couple of sites, you got either very clear or not so clear differences in changes in the ADOS over time with this intervention. But other places, you just didn't get it at all. You got everybody changing. So somehow, and this is really repeating Connie, we need direct measures of social behavior and communication, and we need things that are easier to administer and score than the ADOS. But we also need something that is more standardized than each of us using our own particular approach, because the key, I think, for replication, because none of us can have huge, huge samples, except maybe Connie, is that we have to replicate. We have to show that something works in one place and works again in another place. And if we have entirely different measures, it's very hard to know what's going on there. So our goal with ADOS-C, and this C is just for change, was to build on the idea from behavioral studies of having essentially generalization probes. That is creating, looking for the behaviors that we're trying to teach in more structured intervention, but looking for them in a more natural setting. So we're really trying to move outside the circumstances of the treatment. We also, and partly this is just from all the grief that we get from how hard the ADOS is trying to come up with something that's relatively inexpensive and easy to use in terms of measuring changes in response to shorter-term treatments. We're not trying to provide a norm score, so the number that would be yielded for an ADOS-C in itself doesn't mean anything. It only means something as you're comparing the same child across time. And I think that's a really important thing to measure. Now, that actually sort of fits a little bit with what Christopher Gilbert was saying this morning, because we're really talking about a dimension of change in social behavior. We focused on autistic behaviors, but this isn't just for autism, and we're really not measuring autism severity. We're measuring social behavior. So the goal is to develop some way to have a relatively unbiased measure that is standardized in some ways, sensitive and flexible, that measures change. At this point, the ADOS-C is coded from videos, and the idea is that a particular research group defines what activities they want an interactant, a child and someone else, to do during a brief setting. And right now what we're doing is coding 2 5-minute segments. The idea is that the examiner is not trained in any particular way, so they really shouldn't even know what they're doing other than playing with this child. At a minimum, the person needs to be blind to whether the child is in the treatment condition or not in the treatment condition. And ideally, but it's not going to always be possible, they wouldn't have done this for the same child across time. But where we're moving is to be able to use these strategies, again, different across studies, either with parents, a parent is the interactant, a therapist, or a research assistant. The task demands can be varied according to the objective of the treatments. So, for example, if part of your treatment was compliance, then you might ask the parent to play with the child for 5 minutes and then ask the child to clean up. Or to take some of the paradigms that are used very frequently in developmental psychology. This is just an example, and this is from one of the intervention studies that we're in and the kit that we used for mother-child interaction. But there isn't a kit here. You put together what do you want to see in terms of what the kids are doing. And you'll see there are critical things, like there are doubles in here of the same child, same toy a couple times. There are more creative play and things that are more concrete. One of the keys, and probably the most difficult thing that we've faced, is that we have to expand the codes. In the regular ADOS, you have a 0, meaning no evidence of abnormality, a 1, and then a 2 and a 3, which are often collapsed. If we're going to see change, we have to expand those codes. And so what we've done is use a 6-point coding system from 0 to 5. And the idea is that we're looking for reliability on individual items within 1 point. So not perfect, or we would never be able to do this. And for the examples, we started with ADOS items just because we know that many people can get reliable on them. But what we've done is parse them both out so that we can pick up more subtleties and try to be clearer or less confusing. And you'll see, if I think it's this way. We also have come up with a new way, and this is from having to teach this to first-year child psychiatry fellows, of helping people learn how to code. And so what we've been experimenting with is using a decision tree. And this has certainly been a lesson for me in how complicated the ADOS really is. So the idea is if you're coding facial expressions directed to others, you first ask, does this child have any variation in facial expression? If the answer is no, the child gets a 5. If the answer is yes, you say, does the child consistently direct some kind of facial expression to anyone else? If no, they get a 4. And you just work your way down through the system. Our goal is to be able to have something that we could train people in a matter of weeks to use, so that we're not spending months and months of training with the idea that maybe eventually a clinician could actually use this, or a therapist or a teacher. That was the simple one, you guys. This is a more realistic example, and this is frequency of vocalizations directed to others. So for any of you who are torturing over the ADOS, this is a physical example of why it's so hard. So let me just show you a brief example of this is interaction between a little girl and her family. And what's important about this is a little girl where I think you will see change, but who wouldn't have changed on the ADOS. Okay. This is very good.
Can I have one?
No.
Why not?
I will come.
Can I play with you?
No. You putting them together? Mm-hmm. Want to race? Beep beep.
No. So this.
Like that?
Okay. So, and this is the same little girl several months later. Again, what I want you to think about is what has changed. Which wouldn't necessarily be picked up by a diagnostic instrument. Wanted you to see here, and obviously these are particularly selected examples of families who would let us show this, but this little girl did show differences in gesture and eye contact and vocalization and interest in her parents and facial expressions and social overtures, but not huge, huge differences. She did not move out of autism, but there were real changes in her behavior. When we looked at similar data, and we've now done this twice with very small samples, we first started, and this data was presented by Tim Bakar at IMFAR a couple years ago. We took six kids in an intervention who we thought really had changed. So we started trying to map kids that we did think had changed, and you can see the top line is changes on the ADOS-C across about a year of intervention versus the bottom line, which is changes in the ADOS. So what we're trying to do is show that we can get more change than we would get in an ADOS. This is four recent subjects, and what's, I think, important to remember is my graduate student prepared this for me, and she's like, oh, you're not going to like it, because, again, on the ADOS-C, you'll see on the right, not all the kids changed. But we're not expecting everyone to change. And the point is that we get more change in the ADOS-C than we would during the ADOS. So this is not a panacea for all times, but we're hoping that we can document changes in response to relatively short-term treatments. Right now, we are coding 2 5-minute segments separately and then averaging them. And we're trying this out within our own group and with our collaborators in two settings. One's with toddlers with mothers, because we have data across a whole lot of different interventions that use the same strategy, and also with mentally 4 to 8-year-olds with Connie Cussery's group during a language sample with a therapist. Now, there are real limitations to this, and I think this is where we need help and just need people to take it one step at a time. This is absolutely not a measure of diagnosis. And I think, along with the talk this morning, diagnosis is one thing, but it's not everything. But this is not proposed instead of a diagnosis. It's also, and Connie alluded to this, it's based on a limited time sample. And one of the things we need to see is how many times do you need to do this to get reliable results? How much variability do we get? And what do we do if a child has a temper tantrum Do we encode it and keep it in, or do we say if you're tantruming for more than 5 minutes, you're out and we'll come back? We also are really interested in how do we get the most out of the unusual behavior codes, because those don't occur a lot, very frequently necessarily in 10 minutes. And so that's one reason we've been coding the 5-minute segments and then averaging them. But I think there are other strategies as well. It's also clear, and one of the reasons I picked these videos, is that what the child does is not independent of what the other person does. And one of the things that changed in that video were what her mom did, not just what the child did. We can record that. We can code that as well, and typically we would. But one of the questions is, how much is that going to throw things off? It's also definitely not independent of other aspects of children's behavior. So this is not independent of IQ, not independent of behavior problems. It's really intended to be a measure of how do these social behaviors change in a particular context, and then for us to empirically explore what does that mean and what is it related to. There are real trade-offs between the sensitivity we need to code subtle changes and iterator reliability and test-retest reliability. So we feel like we've kind of hit a happy medium, but I think that's another question. And between sensitivity and ease of scoring. You know, the more we make it complicated, the more changes we see, but then no one else can do the same thing. We also, same thing about having a really natural interaction where you just tell people play versus having more control. We feel like if you put more control into it, it ends up being like an ADAS, and that requires skill and monitoring and is much more complicated. But we do need to have ways of keeping track. And what we're really hoping this might be for people is a template that you can use for different studies, where you'd start with codes that we know people can get reliable on, and then you may add a couple codes, or you may adjust your, you may come up with a situation that you're particularly interested in. I mean, it would be wonderful if we could do this with peer interactions, for example. But you would start with something that's translatable and replicable across other sites, even though, again, the numbers might not be exactly the same because it might be dependent on are you in a clinic or outside? You know, are your kids 7 or 6? So we hope that this strategy will have some potential in helping us be able to measure response to interventions. I think many of us who are involved in interventions feel like the kids really do change, and we would really like to know better than just our own instincts or even our sort of behavioral records what is happening in a generalizable way. But we don't really have tools to do that right now from this approach. We think this is going to be better than the ADAS. It doesn't mean that it's better than everything. And I think, again, Connie's point about you'd want multiple measures. But there really isn't anything right now that allows you to measure directly social behavior. And we hope that it'll move us away a bit from some of the more biased kinds of measures that people often use when you're going from parent report to clinician judgment and trying to remain blind as to what's going on. Because the reality is if we're comparing various behavioral interventions, there isn't anything like a placebo medication that can be presented to families with the equivalent degree of hope and blindness. So we also are hoping that maybe we'll be able to do this where it is coded live, not during the session like in ADAS, but after 5 minutes. But we're not even trying until we can get reliable on the videos. And we hope that this can be expanded, and I know a number of you all are experimenting with this now. So actually what I should have said at the very beginning is this is work that was started actually about 5 years ago by Tim Bakar and Costanza Columbi in University of Michigan, and is now being carried out by Becca Grozinski, who did most of these slides, and Kelly Morton in New York. And we need to thank our funders and the clinic staff and the family and children who we work with.